Talked a lot today about the whole Chase Young situation. You're just now joining us. He's going to be out for the Maryland game due to NCAA eligibility issues. We'll dive more into that at the top of the hour. Tim May is going to join us at 2:05. We're going to take a little break here from that. Talk some NFL with Tyler Dunn, NFL writer for Bleacher Report. Tyler, thanks for joining us, man. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. So obviously here in Columbus, you're well aware of what we've been dealing with here, Buckeye Land with Chase Young. I want to ask you, as a guy that's, you know, in the NFL world there, do you think that any of this stuff will have any effect on, not where he goes in the draft, but what I'm trying to ask you is, do you think that GMs, owners, or presidents of teams will view Chase Young any differently based off of the information that has come out today?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, at the end of the day, with pro scouts, GMs, coaches, well, what you do on the field matters most. And, I mean, I imagine it factors into everything, but yeah, I don't know. This compared to other quote-unquote red flags that you see in some of the top prospects over the last, I don't know, a couple decades, it's not something that would just, like, knock you down, you know, out of that top tier. So I wouldn't be overly concerned, although you guys probably know a lot more about it than me.
No, absolutely. You know, so looking at some of these NFL games coming up, big game Dallas, Minnesota for both of those teams to finally find a way to get a win. Who do you like in that matchup?
Boy, they both could use a win. That's just huge. I mean, we're talking playoff implications now. I think it's Dallas just because they seem to know who they are. They seem to have an identity. Minnesota just is the same kind of schizophrenic team. I mean, right when we all think they're turning a corner and Kirk Cousins is once and for all justifying that contract and they're throwing the ball all over the place, you know, they can't beat the Matt Moore-led Chiefs. And they always just seem to have that game. I mean, the Vikings are that team that, you know, you can make the case that they could realistically make a Super Bowl run, and you could make the case that they're just going to bottom out and not even make the playoffs. So at least with the Cowboys, things seem to be a little steadier. And yeah, Dak Prescott, you know, he still has that overthrow that to Amari Cooper that just kind of makes you shake your head and you wonder, gosh, I mean, you got to hit those throws if you're going to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But he also is a quarterback who can bounce back from that kind of throw like he did against the Giants last week and had a touchdown drive. So I just think the Cowboys at least know who they are. They're going to run the ball. They're going to play good defense. And Dak is going to make a couple plays that they hope will win a game.
Tyler Dunn, NFL writer from Bleacher Report, joining us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Let's head up to Cleveland and get your take on what you think has been the biggest issue for them. Offensive line play, penalties, quarterback taking care of the football, coach can't get out of his way for whatever reason. Like, what has been the biggest glaring need from your perspective, or glaring issue from your perspective when it comes to the Brownies this year?
Man, what was the execution counter at with Freddie Kitchens, his last press conference? I think it was 20-plus. I mean, he's in so many words saying guys need to make plays, and I'm putting them in the position to make plays, and he's fighting for his job. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? A head coach for the Cleveland Browns. I mean, we seem to have that discussion every year, but tend to agree with him. I mean, you watch a Browns game, and there's plays to be had, and Baker Mayfield just is not the Baker Mayfield that we saw last year. It's mind-blowing that the guy who just seemed to maneuver in the pocket with such just grace and ease, kind of like Russell Wilson, and creating his own passing windows. And I mean, the Browns are kind of front runners, right? When things are going good for Baker Mayfield, they just keep going good. And that's how it was the last half of last year. And, you know, the other end of the spectrum, that's how it's been this year. Things are going bad, and they just can't get out of that funk. And you have Baker Mayfield missing Odell Beckham open down the field, not even throwing it to Odell Beckham when he should late in the game. It starts with him. Who knows if they can get out of it, but you got to think, even with Tre'Davious White at corner for the Bills, shadowing Odell, you know, one of the best corners in the game, you've got to force feed it to Beckham some way, somehow, you know, from the first drive on.
No, absolutely you do. And, you know, looking still in the AFC North, it's a lot more competitive, I think, than anybody envisioned. I mean, Cincinnati's not good by any stretch, but, you know, Baltimore's been a pleasant surprise to the man with me here, Matthew Ice. He's a huge Ravens fan. But then Pittsburgh, even after Ben, you know, they seem to – have kind of righted that ship and turned things around. They're playing the Rams today, another team that's kind of been perplexing at times this year. You know, do you think the Steelers are able to manufacture another victory and get right around 500 there?
Man, it is interesting, Bobby. I mean, I was in Pittsburgh. Gosh, they were probably 0-3 at the time, going out 0-4. And Ramon Foster, you know, a lineman who's been there, I think, what, since 08, 09. He's been through it all in Pittsburgh, seen it all. And it was right after Ben Roethlisberger went down. I was doing a story on Juju Smith-Schuster, and he just kind of said, look, when things happen here, when a running back is lost or a quarterback receiver, we just kind of keep going. I mean, he goes, look through the decades and decades of Steelers history, you know, the train just keeps moving. And he wasn't going to just come out and say, hey, we're going to win without Ben Roethlisberger, but he was kind of saying that, look, the guys had confidence in Mason Rudolph then. They have confidence in him now. He's not Ben Roethlisberger by any means, but just from a culture standpoint, they didn't throw in the towel when I think a lot of teams would think about 2020, 2021 and move on. I mean, they traded for Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's been incredible. They still talked playoffs. They still talked about being a contender, and here they are, what, a game out of the AFC playoff picture. So, yeah, they've figured out a way to kind of keep things moving, and it's going to be interesting in the AFC North. I know the Ravens look like they're kind of pulling away with that win over the Patriots, but you know, let's not forget about the Steelers, you know, right there. I mean, they're still the same team.
Tyler, I want to ask you about Cincinnati because, look, the trade deadline is it's gone. It came and went, and I was one of those people that thought that they should definitely take a look at maybe trying to get something and flip A.J. Green. They clearly didn't do that. Now we've got a very weird situation with the injury stuff and Zach Taylor coming out earlier this week and saying that he's expected to play. Then a couple hours after that, we find out that he's not going to play. But now I just go back to that, and I think for a guy that's 31 who'll be 32 next summer, right, they may have missed their opportunity to get something in return. Now, you may have not got a huge, you know, package in return there, but I thought you could have got something good for A.J. Green. Now he's a guy that could be set up for free agency here. Now they have the franchise tag available, but I don't think they do that for a 30-plus-year-old receiver. They could, but were you surprised that they didn't flip A.J. Green when they had a good opportunity to?
Man, he just laid it out perfect. I'm shocked because it all points to a trade. I mean, it's awesome to see in the NFL all these trades going down. I mean, it's not the NBA, but the teams are finally realizing, hey, you know, takes two to tango. You're a contender. We're not a contender. Let's talk. And here's A.J. Green with, you know, he probably still has 3 or 4 good years left. This is somebody who just takes unbelievably good care of his body. I mean, his training regimen down in Georgia, it's remarkable. The Bengals aren't going anywhere. A.J. Green is a player who probably would like to play for a contender. It just seems like it makes too much sense. So who knows why they couldn't get something done, especially with, you know, what you're seeing teams get in return for players in some of these trades. But here they are, this really weird stalemate. It's kind of become a game of semantics with the Bengals saying one thing, A.J. Green saying another thing. And, gosh, I just think we're all kind of waiting for the Bengals to say he's shut down for the year, which is unfortunate. I mean, this is somebody who has really – he's the absolute opposite of a diva wide receiver, right? I mean, he's had every reason – to complain for the ball and complain about losing and be just ticked off year in and year out. And he never really says anything publicly. He just works harder and sees other receivers succeed. It's just kind of sad. I don't know. That's the emotion with A.J. Green. It's just sad to see another year wasted when he is one of the league's best receivers.
He's Tyler Dunn, NFL writer for Bleacher Report. Tyler, thanks so much, man, for hopping on with us on a Friday. Enjoy the weekend, all right?
Yeah, you too, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.